Well, Joe Newman gets us off to a good start with Wednesday's Blues. Joe Newman and his septet, comprising Frank Wess on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Eddie Jones on bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums. This is from Newman's 1960 album, Swingville. Everything was a ville back then. They had Hitsville. He had all kinds of vills, people naming the albums after vills. But Joe Newman is one of the musicians that you ought to get to know. If you have a chance, go look him up and see what he has produced over his career. And I know you would enjoy his music. Well, I'm speaking to you from what seems to be the hub of hurricane activity. Yes, Hurricane Eta is back with us, threatening to blow us all away. And yet people are thinking, well, it might not turn out to be that way. Maybe it's just a big bluff, but I'm hoping it's a bluff, because we really can't do this every day where you're on pins and needles wondering, you know, whether you'd be flooded out. In my case, I'm reasonably safe on that front. I don't think we'll be flooded out, but there'll be very high winds and lots of rain, and that's another problem entirely. So everybody's on pins and needles trying to figure out, what is this storm going to do? Make up your mind already and let's get it over with. The storm doubled back and it is now coming at us from the left side. And hopefully the storm will behave, give us a break. We really need it. And just leave us alone for today and tomorrow and a couple of days later. Just leave us alone for a minute. We really need the rest. We don't need the aggravation and the additional tension. It's already much what we're dealing with. So that is it with the storm. It's being watched very carefully. It is traveling along the southern west coast now, but there are predictions that it would shift over to the east coast, which is where I am, and I'm not looking forward to that at all. I just, you know, would like to be left alone. We could deal with rain. We could do a couple of windstorms every now and then, but we really don't need a storm, a major hurricane right now. We just don't need it. So I thought we'll talk about who's in charge. Who's in charge? Do you know? We don't seem to know quite who is in charge. It's not clear, and it ought to be very much, very, very clear to all of us who's in charge. The bizarre state of affairs that we are experiencing has us all wondering just who's in charge here and just what is happening. Donald J. Trump, a former president, defeated in his 2020 re-election bid, says there has been massive voter fraud. And he's contesting it, he's fighting it, and he's not getting out of office until it has been proven and quantified. Well, in the first place, if you're making a charge like that, the onus is on you to come up with some kind of proof. You may not have to come up with all of the proof, but you should have your basics covered. if you produce nothing except, you know, you're making accusations, then what are you doing? You can just make an accusation or accusations and then compel the government to do the rest, even when there are no accusations that have been proven. Trump wants the federal government to take on the task of proving what he said. It's very unusual, but, you know, so is Trump. So he says there's massive voter fraud, engineered by his Democrat enemies, and it has robbed him of a second four-year term, and he has the proof. He hasn't produced any proof so far. He's just, you know, made the accusation, and in his head, that's enough. I have made the accusation. His followers echo the same sentiments. They too are talking about massive voter fraud, and nobody has come up with proof. In the meantime, there is Joseph Biden, a former vice president to Barack Obama, who has clinched the presidential spot in the just concluded national election. And he immediately began planning his administration. But there's a problem. The problem is going back to Donald Trump and his accusations, which are yet unproven. In fact, there was a story I read 2 days ago in the New York Times saying that they have called every state, all election officials in every state, and not one agrees that there is massive voter fraud. Not one could produce proof of such. Okay, so I don't know where Donald Trump is getting his accusation and information from that there has been massive voter fraud. And he is not going to bow out of the White House. He's not going to walk out of the White House until somebody, meaning, I guess, his former U.S. Attorney General, will prove him to be right. So far, nobody has produced proof. And so we are in a state, as a nation, we are in a state of flux. We are in limbo. By now, the transition should be well underway. Transitioning from the Trump administration to a Biden administration, but that seems to have ground to a halt, based strictly and solely on Trump's accusation that there's this massive amount of voter fraud that has occurred. But he hasn't been able to prove it. He hasn't produced one shred of evidence that says what his charge is legitimate. Nobody has produced any evidence of massive voter fraud. And he's not leaving. He insists on being an unwelcome guest in the White House. And with that, because if you occupy the White House, it is because you have a right to be there. So it means that he has not given up his presidency even though an election has been held, and he has made these charges which have not yet been proven. I just said to you that the New York Times said it interviewed election officials in every state, and not one of them has been able to corroborate or agree with Donald Trump that there has been massive voter fraud in their state. But Trump remains. And he's doing this spitefully, of course. He's also doing this to provoke a confrontation. He's not leaving, which is holding up the works. There has been an election. A winner has been determined. On the flip side of that, an accusation by the previous president that there's been massive voter fraud has been found so far to be itself a fraud. There's no evidence. The New York Times confirms that it spoke to election officials in every state, and not one was able to corroborate President or former President Trump's accusation of massive voter fraud. But he is not leaving. He is not recognizing the election of Joe Biden either. He's paying no mind to it, he's ignoring it. He is in the White House. He is not moving, he says, because as he says, so it is. So if he says there has been massive voter fraud and nobody could find it, and they have looked and they are still looking for this massive voter fraud and have not been able to find any evidence of massive voter fraud, but he still remains there. Apparently, no one in the Republican Party could say to Donald Trump, listen, this is not making you look good. It's not making the party look good. It's not making the nation look good. Please reconsider the effect of what it is you are doing. You're holding up the works. The entire world community is under the impression that you're mad. You keep seeing things that do not exist. And this is even by people that you trust to undertake these investigations. They have come up with nothing. Zip. Zero. Zilch, nada, nothing. So what could possibly be in your mind with this action that you're taking? You do know that come January the 20th, the changing of the guard must have been accomplished by that date. The powers that you had as a president should now be transferred to the new guy in town, Biden. You're not doing anything to indicate that you approve of his election. You're not recognizing that he exists. You're in the White House, and you still do not recognize this man. What is wrong with you? You don't have a case. People are not saying this to spite you. It is that you just don't have a case. You have had ample time since the election to make your case, to find some number of instances in which you found fraud or your investigators found fraud, voter fraud. No such thing has happened. But you're not leaving. So it means that this is an act of provocation. You're provoking or attempting to provoke something. What that is, we don't know, but we might have some ideas about what you're trying to do. And it would be a shame if it happens. Because frankly, you will be the main reason that the United States is being embarrassed before the world. You haven't had the grace. No one in your sphere has had the grace to say, congratulations, Mr. President. We look forward to working with you in the new order. We look forward to working with you in a cooperative way in behalf of the people of the United States. Something. You say nothing. You're totally graceless. You're so consumed with jealousy and hate. You can't even bear to think about saying something like that, let alone actually saying something like that. But whether you approve of it or not, whether you want to do it or not, the changing of the guard occurs on January the 20th. Whether you approve of it or not, whether you want to or not, that's the day the changing of the guard occurs. You have interrupted it. You have tried to derail it. You have tried to do all kinds of things to scuttle it. But there must be, according to the law, there must be a formal transfer of power from Trump to Biden by that date. Okay. Trump, in the meantime, is continuing to operate as if he's still president of the United States. He refuses to recognize the election of Joe Biden. He is firing people and hiring new people as if he is going about his regular business of, you know, if there is a change, that would be the change. He would just change from one term to another term. And he has the power to hire and fire. This is how he sees it, Trump. And so he will do that, take advantage of that. He's already hired new people. He has fired old people. And he is still of the opinion that he will not recognize the election of Joe Biden, except to say that it is illegitimate because of massive fraud, which he has not yet been able to prove. So the country right now is on pins and needles, waiting to see how this is going to turn out. A newly elected president is waiting in the wings to take the reins of the country in his hands. But there is an angry, defeated former president determined to scuttle his tenure even before it officially begins. So the question to you is, how do you think this crisis will be resolved? How do you think this crisis will be resolved? In your mind, is it even a crisis? Will it be resolved on its own, or will some action be taken, some definitive action will be taken to resolve it? 888-874-4888. is the number to call. When you respond, as you know, I'm a stickler for staying on topic. Don't take us on the scenic tour. I've outlined to you what the subject is, so I'm expecting you'll stay on subject, on point today as you respond. At 888-874-4888, how do you think this situation will be resolved, since it cannot go on forever, and since we have a definitive date by which there must be a resolution according to the law of the land, except that Donald Trump doesn't think he has to obey such a law. And he has just flouted it so far. He's not paying attention to it. He's not regarding it. He's just going about his business. I have never, ever in my life heard or witnessed such a thing. And it is all the more jarring that it is occurring in the United States of America with the former president at front and center of the debacle. 888-874-4888. Let's take some phone calls and see what you have to say. All right. We have Marshu of Spring Valley. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today? I'd like
okay,
to.
Okay, how are you?
Phenomenal. Remember, well, I'm going to say to everyone, good morning, Vietnam, because we're coming out of the rubble to make things better. And, World War II, the end of World War II, the Nazis didn't want to give up. They had bunkers, they killed themselves, whatever. And someone was on BAI saying that there was a book written telling about Trump's devotion to Hitler. He reads Mein Kampf every day. And if you, and from the very beginning, as soon as he opened his dirty mouth, I knew he was Hitler. And, of course, I remember.
But where did you get that?
That was on BAI. They squashed the book. They didn't let it come out, but he saw it. The guy on BAI, he's on the program after Democracy Now. I forget the name of it. We talk about democracy, two people who were talking. So it was on their program. And they squashed the book. They never let it come out. But this man who was talking was there when it was supposed to be published. Okay? That's how I found out. So anybody, it's not a surprise to me because I knew he was Hitler. I remember Hitler.
Let's get to the point. The point
okay,
that
the we point
are trying
is,
to get to today
okay,
is,
the point
how,
is,
in your view, is
yeah,
this going to be resolved?
I'm going to tell you. So what happened was they all killed themselves because there was no way out. And, of course, this guy is a little baby saying, no, I'm not going to go, I'm not going to go, until he's pulled. And, that's, you know, that's what we have here. So that it's going to be resolved. It's all going to be resolved. We have to have patience. And he is going to kill himself. I mean, literally speaking, he's going to somehow, I don't know how, it's going to happen legally, whatever. Something is going to happen. And so... talking about legalities, talking about politics. What about our health now?
Yes, but we're not talking
yeah,
about
but
that
listen,
right now.
But listen,
we have to stay on topic because we have to move along, and there's a growing list of people waiting to offer their opinions as well. Okay, so we got your the gist of what you say. All right. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. Walter from Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Retrice, and hello to the Retrice Lead listening family. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I hope you're all right as well.
I am well, thank you. I haven't called in a while, but always listen every day. Okay, to the answer of your question, how do I believe that this will resolve itself? I personally do not believe that President Trump is trying to alter the election. I think he knows it's a foregone conclusion that former Vice President Joseph Biden has won. I think he is holding out to get a deal from the government, i.e. the Biden administration, that he will leave office quietly if they remove the federal lawsuits that are pending against him. And those federal lawsuits are obstruction of justice, campaign finance violations, as well as the federal tax charges. And I think that he's trying to make a deal through backdoor channels that once those lawsuits are dropped or at least severely diminished, he will go quietly.
I think
that the Democrats will give him what they want in order for him to leave quietly so that they can move forward.
Okay. Well, that's a practical way to look at it. But the question is, if they do this, if they make a deal, then they, in effect, have given in to Trump.
That is correct. But the Democrats are known to be weak and ineffective, and I believe that they will continue in that vein.
The Democrats are known to be weak and ineffective, so it wouldn't matter to them whether they're seen as yielding and giving in to Trump.
Absolutely not, because then Joe Biden can hit the ground running and pursue the programs that he wants to pursue without the drama and obstruction of the current administration.
All right. So yours is more of a pragmatic solution. As you see it, they will be pragmatic about this and come to a solution based on practicality. They've got to get on. The Democrats have to get on with governing the country. And if it means giving Trump what he demands to solve this impasse, then it's worth it.
Absolutely. Trump, first and foremost, is a survivor. Okay, and he only has a few cards to play while president, and he's going to play those cards.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Very intriguing thought. Very intriguing. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you. Same to you.
Now, I would have to disagree with the previous caller because I think Donald Trump has absolutely no leverage with which to bargain. You know, even though at the current time it appears as though he's being quite recalcitrant, and certainly there is some immediacy in terms of being able to fashion a transition team. You know, from a cultural standpoint, you know, if your kid is in the store and he's stomping his feet and screaming, you know, from a cultural viewpoint, you give him the black mother eye and you say you straighten up and you fly right. And if he doesn't, you just pick him up and just, you know, take him outside and take him to the market.
So let's get a bunch of black women to surround Trump and give him the eye.
Exactly. You know, just do what we do. No, this is going to work itself out. This is going to work itself out.
But how will it? That's a question. We had a suggestion from Walter of Virginia that they will all get very practical and pragmatic. But then, you see, that's an easy way out in a way. And it is also not the just way to get out of this. Because this was deliberate harm being done by the former president, so as to besmirch an incoming administration and taking all kinds of tactics or applying all kinds of tactics that in the end had just one objective: do whatever you can to destroy this new administration as long as I win at any cost. Now, is that what the Democrats would want to be known for, as yielding to a president who clearly has no case? He hasn't made one so far. He has misbehaved in the worst possible way as a head of state. And yet they're going to be kind to him and give him a pass?
As spineless as the Democrats are and have been known to be, I cannot believe that that would be the course that they would take. Donald Trump has proven time and time again that he respects absolutely nothing that does not benefit him and him alone. So I cannot imagine, and I absolutely do not believe, the Democrats would pursue that course of action.
So I come back to the same question from the start. How is this going to work out?
He is going to go either on his own or forcefully.
Mm. If he goes on his own, that would be preferable. If he is forced to go, that could be very problematic.
The Republicans are survivors. They're survivors. And they have another axe that they have to grind. And that is those two senatorial seats in Georgia. They don't have time to fight this battle for him. They've got other fish to fry.
Yes, so, but there's more than the two senators involved or the two seats involved. You have people who are wired. And the thought of having internal conflicts in the United States with armed militias and so forth, these thoughts come to mind.
I have to believe that the control of the Senate, the long-term view, is what's going to be of paramount importance.
Okay.
The last thing Mitch McConnell wants is to lose control of the Senate. And I have to believe that he is going to operate in his own best interest, as they all do, ultimately. Ultimately, they all operate in their own best self-interest. And at this particular point, control of the Senate is what's going to be in Mitch McConnell's best interest. He has already stated that Joe Biden will get absolutely nothing done. But that can only happen if he controls the Senate.
All right. Very astute observation. As usual, Patricia, thank you so much for contributing today. Joe from Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Latrice. I'll be very brief. Trump is going to leave the White House by the time that Biden is sworn in. I think that's January 20th. In the meantime, Trump is still the president of the United States. It has nothing to do with the election of when he's going to leave. He's going to be there until right before Biden is sworn in. That's it. And number three is the sky isn't falling.
It isn't.
So the country's going to go on. I'm sorry. The country's going to go on with or without Trump, whatever he does. Doesn't matter.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for calling in today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air. How you doing, Ed?
How you doing, Patrice?
Okay. How is this going to work itself out or be worked out?
Well, like previous caller said, I mean, it kind of like stole my thunder. Three things. Why would you expect this man to do anything different than he's been doing from the beginning of his presidency? He's shown that he's mentally incompetent. He's a narcissist. He's an egomaniac. Of course, he's going to bear this out to the last possible dramatic conclusion. He's going to leave in January. Number one. Number two. This country. Not to go off topic, but look at George Bush Jr. He took us to an illegal war. He suborned torture, and nothing was done to him. when the Democrats came into power with Obama. All of the, and he's got war, he's got the hang on him. Italy still has a warrant out for him. Nothing was done to him. This, the Donald Trump, no matter how obtuse or obnoxious he is, he hasn't killed anybody. Literally killed people, literally sanctioned torture. And number three, this is a business. Things are going to move on. The Democrats, even the Republicans, want to push this ugly mole out under the rug and let him go out into the world and rally his 7 million voting supporters to work his new media empire or industry or whatever he's going to do to make a buck. He's trying. In the meantime, somebody's working a backroom deal. Look, you want him to go away, this is what you got to give him. That's it. This is all smoke and mirrors. We got more important stuff to concentrate on than this garbage.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks so much. Chris from New Jersey, you're on the air. How is this situation going to be resolved, in your view?
Saludos, Yutris, and to all the listening audience.
Thank you.
This like my dude from Jamaica, Queens, said he's going to be out of here one way or another. He's going to go. Now, what's going to happen is that whatever pending court stuff that might be hanging there with his taxes or whoever might file a suit to try to pursue some type of accountability for the unconstitutional behavior that him and his family did, all of that is going to be dragged out. It's going to be dragged out. And like the previous caller said, he's going to be creating as much chaos all the way to the end. The worst case scenario is that there's going to be protesters that's supporting Biden and saying, yeah, he got to go. And then on the other side, the Trump people is going to be out there in the street, armed to the T. That's the worst case scenario.
Scenario is that they start engaging each other. And
exactly.
We have something much bigger than just people shouting at each other, but possibly taking up arms against each other.
That's very probable. That's very probable. I don't know how it's going to go down, but I think that's the worst case scenario, and that is possible that the Trump supporters are going to be adamant that the election was fraudulent and that it was stolen from Trump, and they're going to be out there, you know, full metal jacket with the support of the police, with the support of Trump to try to turn this thing around for them. That's the worst case scenario. Best case is that he eventually moves along and he continues to engage his base on other platforms and things like that. And then we're dealing with whatever the Biden administration has in store for us.
Do you have any concerns that I understand the scenario as you painted, but would that help us understand the damage, the totality of the damage that Trump allegedly has done while he refuses to leave the White House?
Oh yeah, I would hope that the damage that has been done already becomes ever more apparent to more people. The division that has been created, that there's no talking, there's no dialogue, because I talk to people in my area, in my circle, you know, Black Hispanic people, Trump supporters, there is no dialogue happening there. No significant dialogue, no substance. It's just I say something and they're just waiting to counter and they're not trying to hear nothing. And even with people who are Trump Biden supporters, and I try to play devil's advocate, and I say, well, this is what the other side is saying. Oh, da, 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 da. They totally dismiss it. There's no thinking there. There's no breathing, think, consideration, nothing. It's really serious, the damage that has been done, and it's going to become more and more apparent, and I hope that people could come back to the base as far as dialogue. Let's talk about it. What's going on? Because we're not going to agree on everything. There's always going to be disagreements with Republican and Democrat, but these people in our communities that has gone over to the other side, that's holding water for Giuliani. People in New York, black and Hispanic people, holding water for Giuliani, for holding water for Trump. There's like, I don't know what they don't answer me when I say, what are you listening to? What are you reading? Where are you getting information from? Once it gets to that point in the conversation, I get crickets, silence, nothing. So it's serious. It's serious times. It's dangerous. And I just hope that we can continue to have patience and come back to where we can talk. Because if there's no talk, the guns is there already waiting, right? Stand back and stand by. They there.
Wow. It's a very serious situation, you're right. And the only thing we can do is hope that cooler heads prevail. But it's not so much anybody other than Donald Trump who is the focal point here. He started this. He's got to have some kind of accountability here for bringing the country to this point where people are even getting ready, preparing for armed conflict. The divisions, the hatreds, the fact that we see no way of talking to each other. He just decided that this is the way he's going to do it, and therefore this is the way the country is going to do it.
Right.
Very poor leadership.
There's no doubt about it that he's has a lot of responsibility for where we at now. And I don't see, I can't see him at a being humble or admitting to any of, or even calming his people down, saying, okay, Biden won, let's give him a chance. We got, I can run again. I don't see him doing that. If he does, that's great. But I see him pushing his chaos modus operandi to the end.
I'm afraid to say it, but I agree with you on that score. I don't see it happening where he is going to try to make amends and act as some kind of a healer and bring the country together again. Thanks so much for your call today. Thank you. G from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello, Yatrice. I hope you're doing well and everybody's okay.
Same for you.
Thank you. It's Veterans Day. I was in the military, so I feel kind of an allegiance on that. You're asking, how do we think that this is going to resolve with Mr. Trump? I think some people have said that he'll probably will stay until the end. And I think that's possible. I think, you know, being his personality type of Gemini he is, he's got a lot of bad qualities. I think he will try to stay in for as long as he legally can. But there's a point where Mr. Biden will have to be in the White House himself. He will have to be in charge.
January 20th. That's the big day.
January 20th. So I would say, if you're asking what could be suggested, I'd say, well, you have a tenant occupying a space that he really isn't supposed to. Isn't there a way to make him uncomfortable in that space so that he would want to get out? I would put that on the table, make it uncomfortable for him to occupy that White House. Now, other things you have to consider, and I've been, you know, in view of some of the other questions you've asked about his support, what are these people like? I started looking at the Washington Post article from, I think it's October the 20th of this year, and apparently Mr. Trump rolled out some money to farmers in states in the Midwest and the South. So I'm not sure if they got that money, but this article, if I can just say, Trump funnels record subsidies to farmers ahead of Election Day. Oh, I'm sorry, it's from the New York Times, and it's dated October 12, 2020, by Alan Rappaport. So it looks like he could have gotten a lot of support from there. So those people, and looking at the states that got a whole lot of votes from Mr. Trump, even as far as the Electoral College, they were Midwest and the South, except for maybe Georgia and the other states that were discussed. He's probably going to rally or talk about those people, those states that supported him, and, you know, other ways that he could say that he's legitimate and therefore he should stay and so forth. And there could be a conflict because Mr. Biden will also have his way of saying that he's legitimate. The America Associated Press said that he won, and he's probably got a whole lot more on his side than Mr. Trump has. I guess Mr. Trump will eventually will have to go, but he's done a whole lot of he's done a whole lot of damage, and there's already a mark on the United States from all his long-term problems. So that even if he leaves tomorrow, he's still going to stay because all the court justices that he put in, all the other things, the subsidies, the cords that he pulled out, all the stuff that he did. But I would say make it uncomfortable for him to stay in the White House at least. Make it uncomfortable.
Sounds like a plan, but who knows how this would go. We just don't know. Thank you so much, G, for calling in and contributing today. Laurie from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. My thought is, ever since the election, could Congress have not come out with a bill, prepare a bill so that something like this doesn't happen again and make it effective at this time?
I don't know, because certain things have not yet been determined. The extent of Trump's, how could I use the word influence? It's not really good influence, but the whole idea of accusing the government of countenancing and giving license to an illegal election where there has been this massive voter fraud, there are lots of things that haven't been fleshed out and for which he is directly accountable. When you make a charge like that and you see the ripple effects of making such a charge, you have people going crazy over this. Why are they doing it to this man? Why are they being so unfair to him? And yet he hasn't produced any evidence at all. Neither he nor his lawyers, nobody representing him, has said what he says. Nobody. So Trump himself is a problem. So I don't know that it should be the place of any entity to just come in and relieve him of the burden of admitting the wrong that he has committed and admitting the ripple effects of that all the things that have happened because he has made these statements, the way he has completely disregarded the law. He is the number one person in the United States as president. Why should we not insist that he account for his actions, make him responsible for these actions? Because you know it's only a matter of time before other people duplicate Trump. It's not going to be too long from now when somebody is dissatisfied with the result of an election in which he or she has run, and they duplicate his actions. They say, I'm not going. You know, they make their own laws. They do what they want to do.
Well, that's why it's my thought that if Congress could put a law in effect at this point in time, this will not happen in the future. It would be against the law.
It
you lose an election, right? You have to move on.
The thing is, it takes, well, I mean, if you might have, you might be onto a very good idea. It's going to take time. We're running out of time. That was the whole point.
Well, quite frankly, yes. Utrice, I think that if we had a Republican Congress and it were a Democrat in office doing this, believe you me, that law would be put together and put forth by this time for the vote.
Well, we shall see how people are reacting, especially those in Congress. I don't expect that they would want to be involved in any of this, because suddenly they will decide that this is Trump's problem and he has got to solve it. But of course, they have a responsibility too. They have a major responsibility in this because they are the legislators of the country. So they have to come up with some kind of a solution.
Well, I hope good
they
idea. Come up soon. I hope they come up with something really soon, because this will be repeated if they do not. There's no laws on the books right now that says you have to concede if you lose, fair and square. So
no,
unless
there's
that
no
changes,
rule or law, you see, they were operating on an honor system, and Trump is not known for having too much of a share of honor.
Exactly.
So they have to now come to terms with the fact that not everybody would respect tradition, respect the law, respect custom. It's not going to work like that. But we don't know all there is to know either. We don't know. And that requires an intense investigation. On many levels, it requires an auditing of the Trump administration, the books. It's a very extensive situation that has to be investigated here before we could move on.
Wow. Any Democrat has the balls?
If any Democrats what? I didn't hear the rest.
Does any Democrat have the balls to get that investigation underway?
We don't know, because it still is unfolding. We don't know all we need to know about what this president has done, will do, or is contemplating. We have no idea. We don't. No, the legislators certainly haven't had access, unfettered access to the books of this country. They haven't done, in my view, they haven't yet done an audit. There are lots of things that have to go on in the name of finding out. So we'll have to wait and see, and we have to be patient. Thank you, Lori, for your suggestion. It's a good one. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our program today. As you can tell, we are at a crossroads. And as it's usually the case, it's the people who end up having to do the work. That's the part that bothers me most. These folks do what they want to do. It's the people who get to do the work of putting things right. So let's get together again tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.